Hare Krishna. Yesterday I was able to go to two seminars. One was one of the committees of which I take part, which was talking about Guru Dakshina, and another one which Bhajanaran Prabhu gave, which was about the UMA, or the ultimate managing authority, namely, which is the GBC, and what that meant. And I put that up. It'll be on articles along with all the pictures, all the slides, PowerPoint slides that he also projected, so devotees can see that. It's a very important topic because, of course, everyone knows that Srila Prabhupada established the GBC, and that one of the failings of the Gaudiya Math was that they didn't do that. Even just a few days before his departure, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed his disciples that they should not have an acharya, but they should form a governing body of 12 members. So, and of course they didn't do that. But that's another issue. But Srila Prabhupada did. Because the GBC is the ultimate managing authority, it's very important for the sake of future generations, for the sake of the continuity of the movement looking forward into the next 10,000 years, to be very clear about what that means. Because even at the present time, there are, and I'll just name three brief main challenges to the concept of the GBC being the ultimate managing authority, or how they're meant to be functioning and what that actually means. The first one begins, or the first critique is based on when Srila Prabhupada first founded the GBC in 1970. And when Prabhupada saw that the movement was really gaining momentum, he'd already indicated earlier that he was going to select some devotees and that they would form a governing body which was going to be managing the society to free him up for translation work. And in 1970, Srila Prabhupada invited his temple presidents, and that was in the San Francisco Rath Yatra, and there he selected 12 devotees to be the GBC. Now, in the document that underlines the functioning of the GBC, Srila Prabhupada wrote there that these GBC members can be voted in by the temple presidents, and that they're for a limited period of time. However, later on, in 1975 already, and of course Srila Prabhupada saw, or at least heard, all of the GBC resolutions that the GBC were passing in Mayapur, and also signed them, that the GBC at that time, in response to Srila Prabhupada's instruction, passed the resolution that the GBCs are voted in for life, and that they're not they're selected by Srila Prabhupada or by the GBC body itself, that they're there for life. Later on, in 1977, when Srila Prabhupada was preparing to depart from the world, he also called upon the GBC members. Well, he called them several instances, but I think this was in July. And he asked them, so, do you have any questions? And they went to consult, and there were different topics which were brought up at that time. And one of them was, how long should the tenure of the GBC members be? And Srila Prabhupada said, for good. Prabhupada said if they're doing a good job, they should stay for life. If somehow or another, either they become weak or fall down, or they're not doing a proper job, then the GBC body itself can replace them. And then, interestingly enough, when devotees went on to discuss other topics, Srila Prabhupada himself brought the issue back, about the discussion back to this issue. He said, so we understand that the GBC members, they should be, once selected, they should be there for life. So that's the first thing. Srila Prabhupada sometimes changed the way he functioned. Sometimes he said one thing or did one thing, and then later on he did another. So in this case, Srila Prabhupada changed his mission of the GBC, rather than being voted in for a limited period of time by temple presidents, he wanted them selected by the GBC body itself, and if their performance was satisfactory, then stay for life. The second point it was that Srila Prabhupada in his will, and in Prabhupada's will he only deals with two things. One is the GBC and the other is properties. And in his will, he says that the GBC body is the ultimate managing authority. That's where we get this UMA. So ultimate managing authority. The argument comes up, well, ultimate managing authority doesn't mean ultimate spiritual authority. Doesn't mean the ultimate authority on spiritual issues or philosophical issues. But, and you'll see in those slides, Bhajanaraya Prabhu gives many quotes, and many quotes can be there, how Srila Prabhupada expected the GBC not only to resolve managerial issues, but to resolve philosophical issues. And he had faith that a group, and of course now that group is about 35, a group of 35 members will be much more astute and much more less likely to deviate or misunderstand things than individuals. So, in any case, ultimate management authority included ultimate spiritual authority. Ultimately, where is this authority coming from? It's coming from Srila Prabhupada. And everything that's coming from Srila Prabhupada is also spiritual. And what to speak of management? Management is also not material. So Srila Prabhupada expected that the GBC body also be able to resolve philosophical differences, establish principles of tattva, and certainly you see that this is something that needs to take place and that is happening. It doesn't mean ultimate managing authority, doesn't mean absolute. In other words, it doesn't mean that the GBC is infallible and can't make mistakes. It can certainly make mistakes, but in Srila Prabhupada's vision, it was the best arrangement possible in his absence. And it was what Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur and even Bhaktivinoda Thakur envisaged, how a worldwide spiritual institution should be managed. And then there's the last point, which also sometimes comes up, and that last point is as follows, that the GBC body is an advisory body, but it's not a legal entity with legal clout and can't oblige other yatras or centers around the world to act. And this was really not the case even in Srila Prabhupada's time. Srila Prabhupada envisaged that yes, the GBC should have legal rights in a case where a devotee was absconding or trying to abscond with a property. Srila Prabhupada immediately wrote that the GBC should prosecute them, take them to court, which saved the day. So the GBC body is also a incorporated entity, and it does have power. It has legal power. And ultimately, when you say that someone is going to be the ultimate authority, how can you be the ultimate authority when you're just some little nice advisor? You're giving some advice, and people can decide to follow it or not. That's one of the, sometimes one of the complaints that devotees also have, is that there may be often many resolutions, but not so much enforcement. But in order to be able to enforce, then GBC body has to have clout. And in this day and age, clout means that it has legal authority. Now, obviously, we're not a state unto ourselves. So we're not like Kshatriyas, where we have a police force and so on. But at least we can use the strength and the power that law actually gives us in order to realize the purpose that Srila Prabhupada envisaged, that the GBC should protect the society, should guide, protect, and in that way be the ultimate managing authority above gurus, above everyone else, that everyone is subordinate to that body. Anyway, a lot more can be said about that, and you can listen to the presentation when it comes up. I think it'll be there today. And Hare Krishna.